views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us on Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
It's great to be with you. We are on step number 7. If you've been joining us, you realize that so far we've taken a step of the practice of living awareness, which is Spirit Fire's own meditation practice, and we've invited guests each week who emulate the essence of each particular step of our practice, and we are on step number 7. So we thought we'd have fun today with that number 7.
Which is interlude.
Indeed. And we're joined today by Donna Mitchell Moniak, and she's the founder of Spirit Fire, and she is the creator of the practice of living awareness. And we're so happy she's with us. Donna, hi.
Welcome. Hi. Thanks, guys. Love to be with you.
It's great to have you here. So we had you on to introduce the practice of living awareness many, many, many weeks ago. It's been a lovely road.
Our maiden voyage show.
Yeah.
Right. You've had some great guests in these last few weeks.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot, too. It's been great. I had to sort of really get deeper into how the practice expresses in the world through people that sort of embody each step. And we're at a special step now. We're at interlude, which seems like an interesting tool. You know, we always talk about each step being a tool sort of that you put in your tool belt, that after these 14 steps of the practice of living awareness, you've got these tools that are handy that you can use in so many situations, not only on the meditation mat, but out in your everyday life. And interlude, that's such an interesting word. So Donna, I'd love to hear you just speak a little bit about that word and this step.
Sure. It's that wonderful space that is at the completion of the full in-breath. And then once again, there's an interlude at the completion of the full exhale. And that simple space is unto itself perfect. It's perfectly full. It's perfectly content. It's perfectly empty. It's a full satiety of our body on both the in-breath. We've received exactly what we need in the moment according to whatever the needs are of that moment. And on the out-breath, the same thing has happened. We've released perfectly just right enough. And the practical application of it in meditation is that it is that space between. And in meditation, that's actually what you're trying to get used to, trying to ripen or mature within your meditation practice, is to actually become in your mind and in your awareness the space between. Between what? Between thoughts, between emotions, between moments. You're just trying to elongate that. And in the practical application off the cushion in our life is that it's that space of neutrality, that moment of ripened potency that is really any moment when we actually just stop for a second. Just don't keep going so fast through our day and through our emotions and reactions. We just give a little space, a little neutrality.
Nice.
And so it's sort of like being comfortable with a pause.
Absolutely. And in fact, what we find is that every pause is quite pregnant. It's a potential. So we not only give ourselves, again, that space of pause, neutrality, take a breath, you know, just give yourself a moment. But also in that is the realization and the discovery that each moment is actually quite pregnant unto itself. We don't have to fill every moment. There's a richness there to be discovered.
We often say that in the practice, that so many people believe that meditation is this sort of checking out. It seems as become so popular, you know, people have to find their way to what really is meditation. And so many people see it as sort of, you know, my time to check out, but instead, actually, it's a time to really check in. And when you say give yourself a moment, it really means give yourself a moment to actually experience the moment if you can.
That's right. That's right. As you know, you might have said in the practice, quoting it, meditation is an experience, not a thought process. And the great meditation masters all through history have constantly led us to the full range of experience itself. And what I'd like to say is awareness is simply awareness. Awareness doesn't look like anything other than itself. And when we realize that, to check in with our senses, to check in with our who and what is actually in the moment that we are experiencing, that is to be aware. So awareness is not ahead of us. Awareness is not something that we have to achieve or have some kind of funky, ambition about. But instead, awareness is simply awareness. Be aware. And then the range of common awareness that we all can have will certainly mature into the profound levels of awareness that every human being is capable of.
Yeah, we seem to. I've lost Donna for a sec.
Oh.
Oh, there
sorry
you are.
About that. Hey. Yeah.
Oh, you're back. Okay. So you were just saying about it's not this profound moment, this moment that we're trying to achieve, but that there's profundity in this very moment.
Completely. Completely. I mean, if we would just take any common situation, and this is the beauty of interlude, but interlude kind of collects everything that we've done so far in the practice and just simply reveals or illumines that more than likely we've achieved some state of peaceful abiding, of shamatha, because of all that we've taken up and all that we've integrated. That means that peaceful abiding or that peace and that abiding, what is abiding? It is to simply sustain a state, that is available to us off the cushion. Well, what is more profound than that, right? What is more profound than the sunshine? What is more profound than you being alive? Really, really, right?
It's this conundrum that we find ourselves in all the time, that are we really experiencing the moment to its fullness? It sounds so simple, so very, very simple. And in fact, it is, as you say all the time, it's so right. simple. Right. And it's what I love about the practice of living awareness is it really does bring it back to its most simple form and its most sort of practical and understandable form. But you said a number of things in as you were speaking that I was even writing down, this ripened potency that's in every moment. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk quite a bit about this number 7 and the very fact that it sort of alludes to, in so many instances, more than you would ever believe, that 7 has this tendency to be a cumulative number, that it seems at 7 you have achieved something, or 7 contains the fullness of some expression, of some sort of state. And we're going to look at that later on in the show, but it would be interesting to let the listeners know that within the practice of living awareness, there are 14 steps. And as you told us in the first, very first show introducing the practice, that the first 7 steps are to reach this place of shamatha, which is peaceful right. abiding, being able to really sit in peace. And that the second half, the second 7 steps, are insight.
Right. Vipassana. Right.
Yes. So what we're going to come back after a break and we're going to look at is this number 7 and the ways that after 7 steps of this practice, you've reached this place where you can sit, where you can right. sit in peace. You can find that peaceful place within yourself and take a little bit of a look at the 7 steps that led us to this ripened potency of stillness.
The common denominator.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll continue with Donna Mitchell Moniak.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with
pride. Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio, where today we are with Donna Mitchell Moniak, and we are just about to get into some intriguing conversation about the number seven as it relates to the seventh step of the practice interlude.
We've been having so much fun just looking up sevens on the internet, and they are so many. We're listening, you know, to sailing before we came into the show. And, you know, how many seas can one sail on?
Oh, my goodness.
It's everywhere. You wouldn't believe. There are, you know, how many dwarves does it take to get the job done? It takes seven dwarves. And there are 7 days to the week. There are seven deadly sins. Oh, we both said that in unison. The sevens just go on and on in our culture. And what we started noticing as we were really looking into the sevens, that they seem to be a quantitative number, that after seven, it seems to take seven to sort of hold the entirety of one expression. So if we think of light, if you break white light down, it's broken down into seven distinct colors.
Song notes.
Yes, a musical note. There are seven notes to an octave. And then if we even think that we've all, you know, certainly in Genesis, we hear that God created the world in 7 days. And that starts by and God said, let there be light. So right there, we've got so many, we've got sound, God said, and let there be light. Right there is sound and light, almost as particle and wave. And there are so many sort of creation stories that talk about sound. And there are seven chakras. We think of the chakras as someone moves through their energy system from their basic chakra all the way up to this sort of divine expression of the seventh chakra, the crown chakra. There are seven sacraments, and that is these sort of seven passages within the Catholic religion and in Islam.
Well, and even in Kabbalah, the tree of life, the lower seven sephiras, seven emotions. And astrology, Donna, I know that you're a huge fan of esoteric astrology, the seven illuminaries.
Right. The seven sacred planets, yeah.
And what do those relate to?
You can relate them to the chakras. You can relate them to the seven primary energetics of cosmos that are called the seven rays, seven states of being, including that some are related to emotions, others are related to, you know, states of mind, etc.
Oh, that's interesting that they're related to emotions similar to the Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And interesting that the Buddha took seven steps when he was born. The list is quite wonderful.
And equally so, to interrupt for a second, that with the Buddha, he meditated and did austerities for 6 years. So rather like the creation story, 6 days of work, and on the seventh day with God, you know, God rested. And with the Buddha, he did austerities for 6 full years, but in the seventh year, he brought forward the fullness. And you've made the point that in the seven, by seven, there's a fullness, there's a ripening, a maturing, a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fascinating. And so now, being the creator of the practice, could you tell us, did that number mean anything to you, or was this sort of, I mean, I get the sense that this is just happenstance, that this is actually, if anything is really an energetic truth, by moving through these sort of energetic stages of sevens, by seven, it seems that you would get to an end somehow, or you would get to an interlude, or you would get to a point of realization, or a point of fullness, as you say, of ripened potency. Was this matter of fact, or was this something sort of constructed in that way?
It was not constructed. I think it was a really great insight on your part, you know, to notice that. But no, it was a process, and the process leads, rather like a seed leads to a root, which leads to a stem, which leads to the leaves, which leads to the blossom. It was like that in the creation of the practice. But yes, do we end up at a ripened stage, which becomes a new ground? That's always the case, isn't it, with manifestation or demonstration? That something now is a new ground or a new platform from which the next something that we're going to do, that we're going to attempt to do, etc., in life, You need a ground. You need a stability. And within meditation, shamatha, peaceful abiding, is that ground, which then provides for the next stage and the next level of attainment, I guess, and that would be vipassana, insight.
It's so beautifully said. I love that. I could hear you say that again and again. and again, that at vipassana, within the practice of living awareness, by the second set of seven steps, you are at living awareness.
Right. And then furthermore, within the practice, as with any fuller ranged and let's leave it there, fuller range meditation practice, the last two steps should bring everything together. And that's the tantric component of the practice of living awareness. Tantra always is interested in complementarity and bringing parts together into a wholeness. So there's always this two-factor, masculine and feminine. And within the practice, as within meditation, shamatha is the feminine. It's receptive. We are learning to simply sit in peace and quiet. And vipassana is the masculine energy. It's pointed. It's penetrating. It's piercing. It's insight. So then you want to blend them. And that blending is, again, the next ripened potency. It's also the next stability and the next foundation.
It's almost even like an inhale and an exhale. So I love that. I've never even thought of it in that way. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shamatha is yin and vipassana is yang. Yeah, same idea.
Yeah. Not to go overboard, but I think it's so entertaining that to think of the various ways that these sevens do bring us to this new round.
Sure.
You know, we even think of the seven-year itch in terms of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That is to be the time that after 7 years, you basically make it or break it. You get the seven-year itch and you say, okay, we need to find new ground in this relationship, kind of define it again after this 7 years, and we go on for another 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You think of, in Islam, you circle, now you circle the Kaaba seven times.
Right.
I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And this number in Judaism, Shiva, is the Hebrew word for seven. And that's 7 days of mourning after somebody passes, 7 days of respect to kind of revisit them and this state of mourning to then find the new ground in their passing. So once again, it just comes up so many times.
Do you have any ideas, Donna, why seven is the magic number per se?
You know, I think that it really is that it's primordial, and it's one of those things that we as human beings, we always seek a beginning and a completion point. So we're always asking about beginning questions, and there are certain things that really don't have that kind of answer. And I think that these primal cosmic energetics and the principles and laws that then are created by those primal energetics, that those are beyond the idea of did they begin everything and what is their beginning, but yet for everything that we are experiencing, because you can give all the lists that you already have, then clearly these are a primal energetic set of qualities that just pervade everything.
Very well said. So true. Indeed. It took seven books for Harry Potter to complete.
That's great.
I mean, I'm sure on that seventh book, people were wanting an eighth, but no, it is primordial. It is so. After seven, it is done. It is complete. You mentioned earlier the seven rays, and I would love to talk about that on the second half of the show. I know I love the seven rays, and Tim and I thought, well, okay, they're from the same lineage, and we can talk about that a bit. And we laid the seven rays on top of the first seven steps as this sort of ultimate test to see, would this work? And we were giddy. We were laughing and dancing around because the seven rays sit right on top of the first seven steps of the practice. So when we come back, these might be very new to a lot of people. And we're going to talk a little bit about these seven rays, these seven qualities of energy that sort of tincture and color everything in existence. And we're going to actually, for fun, lay them on top of the first seven steps of the practice.
And the insights that we found.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
They were great. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the seven rays of life, and we're going to talk about the first seven steps of the practice of living awareness. And we'll be right back.
Interested in schools that inspire, excite, and encourage our kids to step beyond what they thought was possible. The Access Possibility School is enrolling now. Students in grades K through 8 are welcome to our virtual classroom. Classes start September 8th. For more information about the Access approach, teachers, enrollment, and what makes us different, visit accesspossibilityschool.com. That's accesspossibilityschool.com.
A morning filled with dynamic, inspirational music, spirituality, and uplifting messages by TJ Woodward. Come and connect with community conversations and awaken your senses. Awakened Living Sundays with TJ Woodward. Join TJ every Sunday in the San Francisco Bay Area Chapel at Fort Mason and live streaming online 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time. To learn more and access the live stream, visit www.awakenedlivingsf.org.
Into Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
This is Lynn Brown from the show Winning at the Game of Life. Listen, it's time to enrich your money stories and open your path to all that you desire. We all have limiting beliefs which we accumulate from our life experiences, ancestors, and past lives. These beliefs block our ability to receive the unlimited flow of abundance that the universe is constantly offering to us. Why are we so emotionally caught up on the word money? It's only one of the many forms of abundance. I'm excited to uncover your unique stories and limiting beliefs around money and abundance, as well as give you tools to release them from your space. It's time to invest in yourself. You deserve everything you ever imagined and more. Call me to schedule a reading at 844-B-INTUIT or RUINTUIT.com.
Lynn was very accurate, and she was so clear in explaining everything to me. I highly recommend Lynn to all of you.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Thanks for that Nice music, Brian. We are joined today with Donna Mitchell-Moniak. She is the creator of the Practice of Living Awareness and the founder of Spirit Fire, and we are pleased to have her with us. We're talking about this fascinating number seven. We're actually at the seventh step of the Practice of Living Awareness, which is interlude, and we're talking about this step as this sort of ripening moment, this culmination, this creating of new ground within the practice that is shamatha. So I almost said vipassana. That is shamatha, peaceful abiding. And we've been just taking this look at the number of seven and the ways that we see in popular culture, in mythology, all throughout time, this seven really does represent this culmination, 7 days to a week. As we were on break, I was thinking of the seven adventures or even trials of Sinbad. And so we see it in mythology, in Japanese mythologies, there's the seven lucky gods, and we've got the lucky number seven. So it really is everywhere. Even the mythological Atlantis, we all hear of the land of Atlantis. Apparently there were seven main islands of mythological Atlantis. Did you know that, Donna?
I did not.
Yeah, we came up with so many sevens. So we were talking earlier about the seven rays. So would you like to introduce that, Donna, a little bit, the concept of the seven rays? I'll be glad to do it if you do.
I can. The idea of it modernly comes from the Tibetan master teacher Dwalkul. So it's in the teachings of the Trans-Himalayan Ageless Wisdom tradition. However, the teaching on the seven rays is in the Vedas of the ancient Hindu Brahmanical texts. It is also mentioned in the Upanishads, so it is quite an ancient system. If one really does their research, they will also find mention of these seven primordial streams of energy within the Chaldean ancient texts and the Egyptian ancient texts. So it's a very old teaching. And at essence, it is simply saying that there are seven primordial or primal energy streams that create all manifestation. And not only do they create all manifestation, but condition and qualify everything that is. That then says that each of these seven energetic streams are themselves quality. So we would not, I think the only thing that trips people up sometimes when you talk about energy is that energy is actually qualified. All energy is qualified. Like electricity is an energy, but electricity is qualified by its vibrancy. It's that it can electrocute you, right? So there's a vibrancy to electricity as an energy. So we want to always keep in mind this idea of quality and energy are inseparable.
I know that one way I really had this aha moment in studying the rays, and my goodness, it goes on. I've probably myself been studying it for 10 years, and I feel like I could study it for 10 lifetimes and still receive insights from the study of the seven rays. When I started to look around and realize that there is nothing that I can see that is not without a color.
Right.
And I realized that everything is qualified by a color. It could be that I'm an artist, so I really love to sort of revel in color. But that sort of did it for me. I realized that in the same way that the rays qualify everything that is in manifest existence, that there is nothing that one can experience or look at that is without a ray sort of quality or without a ray sort of association.
Right. Right. And then furthermore, color is only one very apparent way. As an example, in the ray class that I recently taught online, something as simple as verticality, height, slender, upwardness, that is a ray. It's actually two different rays that will produce that. Roundness, circular, soft kind of open spread to something. So whether you're talking about the branches of a tree and how they all have that same shape to them, right? Except a conifer tree, right? But in general, they all have that. You have the pointedness of a mountain. So these kinds of things that are, again, apparent, just like color is apparent, are manifestations of these energetic qualities that are the substructure and so, kind of like the sub-qualifying agents of everything that is in existence.
And that would include even our thoughts. And
exactly.
That would include our emotions. So mm-hmm. that there are qualities to an emotion. Certainly there is a quality to kindness that is quite different than the quality of frustration.
Right. Sure, and then furthermore, something as simple as speaking styles. You too have a radio show. So you, not only each of you has a speaking style, each of your guests has a speaking style that would be equatable to learning styles, teaching styles, etc. Well, that's something about the ray, quote unquote, on the mind of that person. How they speak, how they communicate, how they learn.
And that's mm-hmm. what I found so fascinating with the rays when I was first introduced to it, was that each of us has different levels, you know, and for instance, we have a soul level, a personality level, a mind, an emotional, and a physical level, and there's a ray quality associated to each of those levels, and it helped me to really understand and differentiate the aspects of myself
right.
and how they interacted together. So Donna, would you tell us, go through the levels of the rays and sort of give us a little synopsis of each one and what the qualities are associated with each of the seven?
Sure. Trying to do that really briefly is simply done, actually just very simply done by the names of the rays yep. given to us by the Master DK. So the first ray is a ray of will and power, generally associated with the color red. Like a real vibrant red, almost like a, if not blood red, that has a little orange to it, just real red, ruby red. And then you have the second ray is love, wisdom. That is, those two words are inseparable. It's not love and wisdom. It's love, wisdom. So love is wise, and wisdom is always compassionate. And the color associated is blue, like blue of the dark night sky. Then you have the third ray. The third ray is creative, active intelligence. So that's all the multiplicity and the possibility of creative, active intelligence in any kingdom, in any way, shape, or form. And the color is emerald green. The fourth ray is the ray of harmony through conflict. And the color of that is a beautiful yellow, like if you know a forsythia in spring, that kind of flower that first comes out, or yellow tulips, yellow roses, that kind of vibrant yellow. And the key there is, again, the phrase, the name, harmony through conflict. So we could see that very well epitomized in humanity itself, that we, through conflict, we come to a state of harmony, peace, equanimity, etc. The fifth ray is the ray of concrete knowledge and science. That can sound really boring, but if we understood that actually that is about all the deep mysteries of existence and the discovery processes and inventive processes that all come out of the fact of the deep mysteries of existence and our curiosity about them, then it's not so boring. And the color is orange, or vibrant, like an orange. Open up a tangerine. That's the color orange. Then you have the sixth ray of idealism and devotion. Again, that can sound kind of, I don't know, too familiar. So that's all the majesty and the height and the purity of something. That's its ideal state and how we seek that as human beings, as does all existence. And devotion, it gives us a whole quality about transcendence. Devotion is always something is apart from you, and you're always going to strive toward that or be in love with that. So again, you have everything from bee to flower, human beings to the divine, love that we share with one another is all born of that devotion. And the color is a beautiful soft pink or a beautiful powdery white. And then the last one is the seventh ray, the ray of order, organization, and magic. And its color is a deep, a majestic purple. And the words itself speak about it, that there is cosmic order, that there is the understanding of that cosmic order is actually how anything gets manifested, anything gets completed and done. And that's magic.
And so there we have again that seven and that completion.
Right.
We also associate the word synthesis with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we see that again as this idea of, and then he rested. You know, it's that that rest that is the allowing, that is the pause that allows the sort of synthesizing of all that preceded to actually magically create that new ground.
Right. And again, I think that the Buddha is just as equally a good example of that, that all the synthesis, to use your word, he drew together all that he had learned as well as perfected within himself through his 6 years of trials and tribulations and brought it together and simply ripened it, brought it forward. And isn't that what manifestation is for all of us, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
And isn't that lovely? Manifesting by resting.
Right, exactly.
But not resting at all. It's actually sitting in presence. You know,
exactly.
I was looking at Carolyn Mace's book, Anatomy of the Spirit, which really rocked my world. I mean, when I read that book, I was probably in my 20s. And she was really talking about these seven stages of power and healing. That's the title of the book, Anatomy of the Spirit, the seven stages of power and healing. And she's relating the seven chakras to the seven sacraments to what she calls the tree of life in seven levels. She refers to seven levels within that tree of life and makes very clear how one can lay all of these sort of ideas on top of each other, and that in the end, they are seven stages to bring about that synthesis, to bring about this ripened potency. I love that you said that earlier. I just can't get away from that. And so once again, we see here that seventh ray of synthesis and of magic and ceremonial order, that we have sort of ordered ourselves throughout the practice in these first seven steps. We've created this order and this sort of this magical product, which is to find peaceful abiding, to be able to sit with equanimity, to be able to sit and your emotions be somewhat still, to have some sort of space within your mind and understand that your body is absolutely related to all of these things with the breath.
During the interlude, we take the time to let the first six steps synthesize, so we can actually appreciate all of that.
So I would love to do just that, Tim, to sort of look at these seven rays that sort of pervade everything in existence. And since certainly the practice of living awareness is in existence, to just sort of take a look at those steps and compare them or sort of set them on top of the seven rays. I think it'll be really fun. We have some time left on the show to do that. So I'd just love to hear, Donna, I know you teach the seven rays so beautifully. Many, many years ago when I first met you, my first class was a seven rays class.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shifted everything in my understanding of how is the universe created and how is it conditioned and how do I experience it? And we at Spirit Fire, you've got a free online lecture at spiritfire.com. If anybody's kind of interested, if we've piqued your interest, at spiritfire.com, you can go to classes and do a little search for rays and see an hour-long free presentation on the rays that Donna taught. But let's lay them on top of each other. So step one is smile. And the first ray is will and power. Now, I know you often associate the image of a lightning bolt.
Right.
to the first ray. And we talked about the smile as being just that, the game changer, the smile that changes everything. It's as if a lightning bolt goes through. There's no sort of way around it. If you're in front of somebody that's smiling, it takes so much effort not to smile. And it just is so exacting.
The intention is clear.
Exactly. It's this intention, this lightning bolt, this power of willed intention that I'm going to sit, I'm going to meditate for the next 20 minutes, and that makes me smile. And that smile just breaks through.
And I would say furthermore that the smile is related to our innate state of pure presence. And pure presence is pure power. We mistake as human beings that are, you know, we're the youngest kingdom on our planet. We're still learning an awful lot. And so we're young within ourselves, quite often within our own levels of understanding and therefore spiritual maturity. When we understand that presence is the purest power, that compassion is the purest power, then when we smile, that kindness, that authenticity that is in the smile is actually an expression of pure power. And so I think you've really landed on something there with the relationship.
You've landed on something that's great. I'm smiling giddy just hearing you talk about it. And so the second step is tip of the nose. I mean, we could talk about that forever. We're going to get through all seven. I mean, we're going to just go through them. So tip of the nose is the second ray is love wisdom. And we talked a lot about in the second step during the show, we talked a lot about outside meets inside. Mm-hmm. And it's noticing the usually not noticed. And it seems to be the place where two sides meet.
And then furthermore, again, you have the wisdom component of notice the usually not noticed. That's never said about, it's not an invocation to be petty. It's an invitation to actually notice the full range of any given moment and the person that's with you. So in that, then again, you end up with compassion again, right? You end up with, if I really notice the beauty that's all around me, if I really notice that my body doesn't feel right now, if I notice ... then we will end up being wise, and wisdom always brings forward compassion.
And I find the love aspect being that relationship of outside, inside, that which I am connected to on my inside.
Relation.
To that which is happening on the outside. So that too has that quality of the second ray going on.
Yeah, interrelatedness.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And then the third step of the practice is flow. It couldn't be more perfect. Creative, active intelligence. That is nothing but flow. We're noticing the flow of our breath and its relation, that activity's relationship to all the world around us and what it actually tells us, what it illustrates to us about flow, that we are in a flow that is ceaseless.
Right. Yeah. And the third ray is also about time, space, and our relationship to space-time. And when we realize that true flow is ease, it's comfort and ease. True flow is not just multitasking. So there too lies both the challenge side of the third ray as well as the kind of achieved or at one side of the third ray.
Beautifully said. Let's move on to the fourth step, which is soften, open, and receive. And harmony through chaos, harmony through conflict, rather, is the fourth ray. And soften, open, and receive, what do you have to say about that?
Mm-hmm. And the fourth ray. Well, so often our struggle, i.e. our conflicts, are because we are not open. We are actually braced against and in defense of. Whereas when we soften and open, then we just find that there is harmony already, there is ease already, and that would be the other side of that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
where do we hold on and how do we soften? How do we go from soft to hard?
Yeah, we just don't realize how braced we are actually going through a lot of the day. And therefore, impatient and, again, judgmental and all those kinds of things. Whereas when we just simply feel it in our body, feel it in our the contractions of our mind, then we end up in harmony, in peace, in ease.
And it does tell us so much, you know, that that chaos and sort of that tightness and hardness really teaches us how to soften. It teaches us how to open.
Right.
That's one of my favorite steps in the practice, because you really check in with yourself and you really realize, wow, I have not taken a full breath all morning. And you say, I'm going to soften to the breath. And you realize, now that's harmony. Boy, I actually was in a little bit of a chaotic state. I didn't even know it. And that leads to the next step, which is soften, open, and release. And the fifth ray is concrete science and knowledge. And what I love about this is it's the only step in the practice that makes sense. It's linear. You know, that fifth ray is so linear. It goes from one to two to three. And it that linear, direct sort of one after the other teaches quite a bit. It's scientific, and it makes sense that soften, open, and release would follow soften, open, and receive. And when you look at those two next to each other and that the soften, open, and receive follows again, you set up this pattern that teaches you quite a bit.
Right. And the fifth ray is the ray of method. You mentioned sequentiality. Method is really important, and release within our body. Our body releases the toxic carbon dioxide that has been accumulated through the bodies and the breath. And if it did not release, we would die. So it's something very simple about method and how method is necessary in our life to accomplish any goal.
Could be more true. That brings us to heart mind, which is the sixth step of the practice. And this is the sixth ray of devotion. I mean, it's so clear. It is the moment where, you know, our lungs lead us to our heart, which teaches us so much. We spent the whole show talking about forgiveness. We talked about Ho'oponopono and just actually being devoted to a way of being that encompasses compassion and encompasses all things heart.
Yeah, and there you have transcendence again. So the sixth ray is a ray of transcendence, all that is divine, all that is perfect, all that is idealized. And heart-mind is to not only experience the transcendence that is all around us, the beauty, the perfection, but it also is to aspire to that as a human being. Well, there's ethics, there's morality, using that in a non-religious way. There is compassion.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put all of those steps together and we get to the interlude at this point in the practice where we actually, we sit ripened, potent.
Right, right.
And let them we, all come together.
Right. And in coming together, what has happened through the practice is that each step has brought forward a revelation and a set of sensations. Through the sensations, we then can realize, oh, this is already here. This is already me. And I am already this ease, this peace, this comfort, this equanimity, etc. And when you put it all together, that's when you have a state. And the state is peaceful abiding.
Beautiful. We're actually at the end of the show, Donna. I knew it would go so fast. That was beautiful. And again, spiritfire.com if you want to learn more about the rays or listen to Donna's rays lecture. And the practice of living awareness is all week long. Go to spiritfireradio.com to listen to more shows and spiritfire.com to sign up for the practice of living awareness. Hopefully you've been joining us live on the interlude step all week with Donna. Donna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
We'll see you all next week.
thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.